From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. In a few minutes, why the Fort Worth and Dallas Symphonies won't be heading to Europe in 2016. We'll start with the wacky Christmas weather that has turned traditional seasonal temperatures upside down for North Texas and other parts of the U.S. An El Niño-associated weather pattern will make Christmas Day warmer in New York City than in Los Angeles. And in North Texas, we could end up with one of the warmest Christmas days on record.
Record high, 78 degrees on Christmas Day, 1934. And that actually is a tied record with 1922.
That's Steve Fano at the National Weather Service in Fort Worth.
If we get up to 72, we'll probably be in about fifth place for warmest Christmases on record.
And that is the forecast high for Friday Christmas Day, low 70s. Fano says a low-pressure system from the Pacific is pulling moisture from the Gulf up into North Texas, and that's been keeping us unseasonably warm. But rain starting Christmas night ahead of a cold front will change that. Fano says rain and thunderstorms Saturday and into Sunday could be heavy, maybe even some isolated street flooding. The cold front settles in Sunday, dropping temperatures into the low to mid-50s. And here's the kicker. The cold temperatures and the amount of moisture could give North Texans a glimpse of snow.
Very light and, you know, no real impacts, but may see some light snow or snow flurries as we head into Monday morning of next week.
On the bright side, you might actually be able to wear that Christmas sweater this week. For the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra canceled its 2016 tour to Spain for financial reasons. Now, the Dallas Symphony Orchestra has postponed its 2016 European tour over security concerns. KERA's Bill Zeebel reports it's the only touring American orchestra to do so.
The Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra last week canceled its multi-city tour to Spain in part because currency rates changed. That means revenue from the tour is notably less than when the trip was organized more than a year ago. Symphony President Amy Atkins also told the Dallas Morning News that only two cities remained confirmed as concert hosts, but the symphony needs at least five to make the tour financially viable. Tuesday, the Dallas Symphony canceled its April tour, citing security. It blamed recent attacks near Paris and here in San Bernardino, adding in a statement that orchestra management believes there's an elevated risk to the safety of musicians and their families, guest artists, DSO personnel, and traveling patrons.
This was a noble gesture for our management, and the musicians respect that.
Principal tuba player Matthew Good represents the Dallas Symphony musicians and says players weren't consulted in advance about the decision.
We're all disappointed that we are not going to be going to Europe because some of the best concerts we play in the Dallas Symphony are on tour.
The DSO had planned a two-week April tour to the Netherlands, Scotland, England, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and Spain. Music director Jaap van Sweden says he'll keep traveling overseas for individual conducting engagements, but respects the manager's decision to cancel, quote, as the safety of our DSO musicians and our extended touring group is primary, unquote. Other orchestras, including the Pittsburgh Symphony, agree safety and security matter for their musicians, too.
It's paramount. It's paramount.
Louise Shanameo, the Pittsburgh Symphony's vice president of public affairs, says her orchestra plans a European tour and hasn't changed a thing. The Dallas native says the Pittsburgh Symphony plans a May trip to Switzerland, Belgium, and Germany.
I think everybody is in kind of a heightened state of awareness, which is very understandable and you know, we just continue to keep our ear to the ground. It's business as usual here until we see something flagged up that isn't, and we're not seeing that.
Others not seeing that? The National Symphony Orchestra plans a European tour in February and isn't changing anything. In March, the Los Angeles Philharmonic heads to Europe. It says it's taking appropriate precautions, but isn't changing plans. In June and July, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir departs for an 8-city European tour, when it travels with 700 people. And in August, the Cleveland Orchestra flies to Europe. Bill Zeebel, KERA News.
Texas Monthly magazine defined the Lone Star State in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and the magazine's look made the world pay attention. DJ Stout was the art director behind Texas Monthly for more than a decade. KERA's Rick Holter talked with Stout about his new book called Variations on a Rectangle.
This new book is serious eye candy, and you play so much with Texas icons. I can't get over a Texas Monthly cover from 1992. It's a tribute to Big Hair. Can you tell us how it happened?
I got a letter from this lady, and she sent me a little Polaroid snapshot. And she said, you know, "Dear Mr. Stout, I love to wear my hair in the shape of a cowboy hat. I would love to be on the cover of Texas Monthly." And we found the lady. By that time, she was hard to find because she had been divorced, I think, a couple of times. You know, because if you wear your hair in the shape of a cowboy hat, you know, you get divorced a lot. And we finally tracked her down and we photographed her. I love those kind of things because it's what we used to call at the magazine. We used to refer to it as the Texas myth. That didn't mean that it wasn't true. It just meant that these are all those things that are Texas heritage subjects, like big hair, oil men, cowboy hats, cowboy boots, Mexican food. You know, like you just go down this long list. And what I tried to do at Texas Monthly was to take some of those things that could be very cliche, but do them in an interesting way.
You talk about Texas icons. There's this other cover that has Ann Richards and Clayton Williams dancing together in 1990. I understand originally you actually had them lined up to do that two-step.
When Ann was running her first campaign for governor, you know, she was up against Clayton Williams, and it was a very interesting race because Clayton Williams represented old Texas. You know, he owns a big ranch out in West Texas. He was an oil man. Ann Richards represented, at that time, New Texas. Liberal, she was a woman, and at the time, they were kind of having this heated battle, and they were throwing a lot of slinging mud at each other, I would say. We wanted to do this story about the campaign, and I had this idea of them doing the Texas two-step. I reached out to both of their offices. I made the case that, look, it looks bad right now. You guys are insulting one another. It's just not pretty. And at first they said, okay, we'll do it. But then an event happened in Dallas where Ann Richards was announced, and she came up on the stage, and Clayton Williams would not shake her hand. And I got a call from both camps, and they said, we're not getting in the same room together because he had offended her. And it was actually a really bad move on his part. But Ann's camp said, we love the idea, though, DJ. Can you just fake it or something? I said, okay. So I found a body double for both of them. And we dressed them the way they dressed, and we photographed it, and we stripped the heads in.
The thing about Texas Monthly in those days is it had a pretty clear narrative. My colleague Jerome Weeks calls it the state's transition from rural state to kind of megalopolis. Mm-hmm. And a lot of your visual take seems kind of wistful.
A lot of the things that people remember from those 13 years, that sort of golden era of magazines, they used humor really well and used it effectively. And I think sometimes the bigger metropolises take themselves a little bit too serious. And I think in Texas, we still have a good, healthy sense of humor, and we don't take ourselves that serious.
DJ Stout, Austin-based designer, art director, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Weather forecast: sunny and windy tomorrow and Friday, but rain moving in Friday night. That's Christmas Day evening. 65 now in Dallas, 66 in Fort Worth, 69 in Tyler, and 55 in Wichita Falls. You can follow KERA News on Twitter or like us on Facebook. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.